morning. See, I told you, every time I preach here, they put a new obstacle in my way. So Jay put the guitar death trap here, which I just want to like just keep hitting the buttons until some other colors show up, like there's red and blue, and I figure there's some kind of contraption there that I might like. You know, I listen to worship, and I hear the God Almighty, and His love makes a raging ocean look just like insignificant. Have you seen a raging ocean? Like I've been in the middle of a couple of those, you know, growing up in Florida, watching the ocean rage while you're in like a 23-foot boat and watching the waves come up on both sides of you and have nothing but walls of water on either side of you and thinking, this is probably not good. But think about that. That is nothing. Nothing compared to His love. Today, I always like to tell you that Pastor Aaron always gives me like the really like hard, narrow kind of passages. So to protect himself, he said, hey, we're preaching this series on parables. Here's every single parable Jesus said, you pick first. Because he's trying to wiggle out of this tough one. So what do? I just pick the weirdest one, right? I pick the one that's going to create the most stirring in my mind. And it's a parable that is incredibly powerful because it has these amazing word images. He describes the final roll call of the saints. He's going to call out and he's going to separate the great believing group from the great group of people who have just decided that they didn't need Jesus. And I think about that all the time, and I'm just amazed by it. Like, we've had this, like, Halloween season come upon us, right? And thankfully, we didn't hear about the billions of bars of chocolate that Pastor Aaron had, but I'm sure that will come up. I didn't see any Facebook posts because I get on there, but I don't look at it too heavily. But think about these horror movies and all this other stuff. It pales in comparison to the day when Christ will sit on His throne and every human being from every walk of life will come back and be standing before Him. Everybody from the Ming Dynasty all the way through to the Egyptian armies, everything will be risen and stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ on His throne, and He will just separate one group from another. I don't know about you. That could be pretty like amazing, wow, awesome, and pretty terrifying at the same time. Do you agree? Like, that could be crazy, right? There is not one part of my brain that can begin to put together how that works. And that's why He's God and I am not. The love and the justice that Jesus brings to us is amazing. Let's pray. Father God, I stand before You today in great wonder and great amazement of Your love and Your grace. And Lord, as a people, we come to You because we want to hear truth. And God, we ask that the Spirit would move in each one of us so that we understand all the hard things You had to say and all the easy things You had to say, Lord. All the things that are given and all the things that will be to come. Father God, we ask for Your guidance in that. In Your name we pray. Amen. So I was thinking about all the things that I would say about sheep and goats, and I was thinking, like, look, I have no context of animals, like livestock, right? Like, look, this is how livestock worked when I was a kid. I went to the grocery store, I went to the meat department, and it was there all neatly packaged. It was really nice. I thought cows came in saran wrap. You know, I was pretty sure that's how it worked, right? Fortunately, when you move to Quakertown, right, my friends all thought that was funny. Right, when you move to that kind of place, you start to find out things you never knew, right? Thanks to the Landises and other folks. Like, if you're like the Roths, you can figure out what's a sheep and what's a goat. I have no idea. My wife had to tell me what a llama was the other day. It was weird. What was that other animal? It wasn't a llama. It was an alpaca. I had no idea they were different. I was calling this poor animal the wrong name. And it didn't look, it was giving me the weird eye. Like, I don't like that. Stay away from it. Like, I want you on a dinner plate or not at all. Thank you very much. So, like, I'm trying to figure out, Jesus prepares you for every event in your life. That's just the truth. I'm not making that stuff up. So I'm like, Jesus, how in the world do you prepare me to talk about sheep and goats? And, you know, first thing he said was, dude, they're not sheep and goats, they're people. Okay, so just calm down. And then the second thing he says is, I've prepared you every day of your life for this. He says, for the last 25 years, I've been preparing you for this. And then I thought about it, and for the last 25 years, I've coached. Like, I've prepared athletes. I've spent thousands and thousands of hours, like, talking to players and preparing teams and all this other stuff. And really what it comes down to here is Jesus is now separating the two groups of people that are now on two very distinctly different teams. I know that's a stretch, so don't get me theologically on this. Just keep with me for a while. He's identifying two different teams. One team has a defined playbook. One team has a defined leader. One team has a identity. And I've coached those teams. Like, they're amazing teams. They're focused. They're in charge. The people know everybody that's in charge. Everybody's pulling in the same direction. Everybody understands what they need to understand, when they need to understand it. They're all pulling the same way. They're all working for the same goal. They're all doing something. And then every once in a while on those teams, you got people that are not working for those goals. And guess what? The group, the captains of the group or the leaders come up and go, hey, what's going on? Can we help you? Can we do something better? Because we're all got to pull in the same direction. And another team has no playbook. It's disorganized. It has some great athletes on it. It has some amazing people. It has some dynamic people. It has people that you and I all love on them, but they have no direction. They have no purpose. They have no idea where they're going or why they're going there. So they don't have, he's so cute. Like, he's got this amazing disorganized group of amazing people that can't get out of their own way. So that's what God said. He says, this is what it's like. It's like having these two distinctly different group of people. One, all free agent players that have decided to either follow Jesus or not. They've all made a decision to join the teams that they've joined. And then once they're there, they're all trying to pull in one direction or another. All right, so look, I'll be honest with you. So I'm like, how do you title a sermon? Like, how do you do that? Like, how do you title a sermon about sheep and goats, right? So I did what any right-thinking American does. What did I do? I absolutely Googled it. Yeah, that is absolutely right. I did not go to I'm preaching a sermon about Jesus, .com. No. I just went straight to the World Wide Web because we all know everything there is true. Good. I'm glad you're laughing. All right. So here's some of the interesting titles we have found. Here we go. Surprise sheep and goats in trouble. Hey, listen, that's not bad. Now, I don't really mind this one up here, the surprise sheep. That one seems pretty good. Because surprise sheep, remember, anytime Jesus tells a parable, he is always trying to teach you something. Do you agree? He's trying to give you truth, and he's always trying to say, hey, by the way, I want you to pay attention to something, right? So I didn't mind this. The goats in trouble part, well, whatever. All right, now look at this next one. This is good. Heaven, hell, and life eternal. Talk about getting to the point, right? Hey, guys, you're going to heaven, you're going to hell, and hey, we're going to live forever. Peace. Drop the mic. End of sermon. That's a tough one, right? You walk into the sermon, and you open up the bulletin, and that's the sermon name. You got to buckle up, right? And if you just came from, anybody just come from children's church? Okay, that's okay. That's good. Check this one out. Ready? Hell is real. And he said, what? Shocking statements of Jesus. That's like Christian tabloid, right? That's what that is, right? Like now, Pastor Aaron preached a couple weeks ago on hell is real, didn't he? That's a totally legitimate thing. That is right in your face, completely legitimate, and exactly what this passage is going to be talking about. There are some very real realities. So that one I thought was a little shocking, but it's good. The other one is like, he said, what? Shocking statements of Jesus. Okay, I'm with you. That's not quite my style, but okay, we'll go from there. How about this one? The least of these. All right, that's good, because in this passage, we'll see that what we do for the least of these people, we're really doing for Jesus. But you notice how small I made it up in the corner? What often happens is we often skip over the justice part and we go right to the servant part because it makes us feel better about what we can do. And it doesn't talk much about what Jesus is going to do. So I like that one. How about good hard news? What in the heck does that even mean? Good hard news. I guess it just means there's some good news, but there's some hard truth in there too. All right, whatever. That's okay. But this one, these are the two that I really thought were really good. The TV drama names. Ready? The judgment scene. End of days. 9 o'clock. CBS. Be there. Monster truck series. You know, those are the two that I was like, okay, now we're starting to get like into some like serious stuff. I really did like the end of days one because do you realize that time will stop? Like these things we wear on our wrists, carry in our pockets, the clocks, the Big Bens of the world, they'll be done. Jesus will put an end to time. He will stick his foot in the ground and time will end. History will be over. Have you thought about that? Isn't that pretty amazing? Your God will stop time. He will stop all things. They won't move forward. So look, I didn't get any solutions here. So that's my solution. Anybody knows what those are? Anybody knows what those are? Come on. Come on. Duna knows. What is it, Duna? That's exactly right. These are windings. Why in the world Microsoft, in their greatest dreams, thought that someone would ever use this as a font? They obviously were thinking about me. All right? So this is what I've settled on. Okay, just kidding. How about this? Which may be worse, actually. Hey, let's smell like sheep and care for the goats. Now, Brenda, they don't smell so good, right? Like they don't. No, they don't. Like I'm not so city that I haven't hang out with some sheep every once in a while, because I've been to those petting zoos, so I'm pretty cool. All right, so I walk in there and I'm ready to roll. And the first indication that you're in the wrong spot is I got a big bottle of hand sanitizer right before you walk in. So I'm not sure if I'm infecting the sheep and the goats or they're infecting me. I don't know which one is which, but. But so I know for a fact that when I get within a like shouting distance of these animals, they don't smell so good. So you're telling me you want me to smell like sheep, which sounds a little odd, but then you want me to care for the goats who are about to get parceled off to fiery eternal hell. Okay, good sermon title. Yeah, my chances of being on that bulletin board for somebody else to say, what was this guy thinking when he titled his sermon? Pretty high. All right, let's get into it. Well, that looks a lot better up there. Okay. Matthew 25. Please open up your Bibles, your phones, whatever it is that you use as far as to access God's word. As been said from here before, these are not my words. These are God's words. These are parables taught right from Jesus' mouth. And they are good for not only teaching, but they're good for correction. And they're good for your good truths in your life to live by, to understand, and to be more intimate with Jesus. Matthew 25, 31 through 46, we'll take it a little bit at a time. The sheep and the goats, that's a man-made title, but here's the parable. When the Son of Man comes, Jesus said, he comes in his glory, all the angels with him. He will sit on a glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right, and he will put the goats on his left. Let's stop there for a second. Now, first of all, I need you to see in your mind this amazing thing that's happening. Like, Jesus comes back, and he sits on his throne. Now, you could imagine what this looks like, right? But can you also imagine all the legions of angels behind him? That's awesome. Like, we're allowed to say that. We're allowed to be happy about that, by the way. All right? The master of the universe is returned to his people with every angel there is, and he's sitting on his throne. Can you imagine what that might look like? I am so jacked up about that. That is going to be so unbelievably awesome to see the God of the universe on his throne with all his people behind him. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Now look, we feel amazing about this. Here's our God. Here's the throne. Here's this legion of angels. And he's saying, "You know what? I needed things and you gave them to me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I needed my basic needs met, and you people, you believers, you sheep, you did exactly what you needed to do. You came to my rescue. You came to my comfort. You settled me. You loved me. You let me cry on your shoulder. You let me do all the things that were necessary so that I could feel like I was loved and comforted by God." That's amazing. That's awesome. But there's a comma. And there's another part. But Jesus is saying here, he's saying, "You people that I have separated, that have chosen me, that have said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, this is what you've done for me." Remember I said that Jesus does none of this without trying to teach us something? Because what Jesus is saying is, here's the truth about what's going to happen. I will be back. And when I come back, it is not going to be Mr. Nice Guy anymore. Like, depending on how you look at it. I am coming back for justice and for glory and for holiness. But the justice part is the part that this verse will talk about here in a moment. But what Jesus is saying right now is, here's what it's going to look like, and here's what I'm going to say. And then we get this small caveat in the middle, which is really interesting. The believers, who, by the way, have just seen the king come back, who, by the way, have just seen a legion of angels show up, who, by the way, are in the midst of this unbelievable scene where, look, your eyes are going to pop out of your head and your jaw is going to drop. You've never seen anything like this before. And then Jesus lays this on him. "Thank you for caring for me. Thank you for meeting my needs. Thank you for doing all the things that you needed to." And then they all start going, "Hey, hold on. Now, Lord, when did we kind of see you doing the hungry thing? Like, did we see you hungry at some point?" I'll be honest with you. I didn't see Jesus hungry. There are probably some people who did see Jesus hungry. They were around then. And thirsty, and we gave you something to drink. When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in? Or need clothes to clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison? When did we go visit you? When did we do any of that stuff? Like they're all nudging each other going, "Hey, did Jesus hang out at your house? Like, did he not have a robe or something? Did you like give him like, did you give him your feelings? I don't know what you did. Did you do any of this stuff?" And then Jesus says this: "Look at the multitude of the believers that you see here. Some you have no idea even existed. Some you had no idea where they're even from. What you did for the least of these, you tended to my needs. You cared for me. You loved me. You met my needs." Jesus paints us a picture of family that we have often talked about from up here on the pulpit. That you are our family. I am your brother. You are my sister. You're my spiritual parents. My spiritual kin. You are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ's blood, just along with mine. We're all kin. What we did for the least of those kin, I have brothers and sisters all over the world, billions strong, who believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that as a perfect man, he walked the planet. And he did ministry on earth for 3 years and gave us teaching and then a group of angry misfits arrested him because he allowed it. He took the entire sin of the world upon himself. He died, taking every bit of the punishment that we were going to have, feeling the separation from his Father, and then died and came back to life to make sure you and I could be on the right side of him when he returned. Just for freely believing that he is God and he did everything I just told you. Amazing. But what you did for the least of the people who ever thought that thought, who ever became a Christian, who ever knew that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, you served God. That's the intimacy he wants you to see. He wants you to see how tight-knit this family really is. If you are going to live for eternity with brothers and sisters in Christ, you would think that that family would need to be a tad bit close, right? This isn't like you're just waiting around for something to happen to Uncle John because you don't like him. This is eternity. Jesus paints an intimate picture of what we should be. Now, does that change your focus just a tad bit? Does that change the focus on the Operation Christmas Child boxes a little bit? Isn't that weird? How our perspective can change pretty quickly? I want you to know that as believers, Jesus is saying to us here that we need to care for one another intimately. Believers, Christians, need to care for one another so deeply. Now, do you know Christians that are not quite so likable? Don't answer that question. Because everyone knows we're all very lovable and likable, right? Everyone knows that Christians don't have flaws, right? Right? So we deal with one another's inconsistencies with grace and love. But Jesus is saying to us that whatever we've done for the least of those people, the most unworthy, unlikable, ungiven people, the people that have nothing, the people that have everything, the people that are spiritually and morally corrupt, believers now, people who have just accepted the Lord but aren't tracking, people who are running away from God, what we do for the least of those people in our body, in the people, in the group of believers all over the world, what we do for the least of them, we are doing for Jesus Christ himself. He is not separating himself from them. He is bonding himself deeper to them. Do you see that? What you do for the least of them. And I think he makes this point because when you do something for the least of anyone, there is no way they can do anything for you. You better be on the right side of that. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing they can do to make your existence better. You are doing that for the least of them. But we don't need to stop there. Everybody in this room who is a believer in Jesus, who is in this congregation, who's a regular attender or a member, who believes in Jesus, who's visiting here for the first time, who's been a believer for years, every single one of us need to treat every single other one of them just like that. We need to correct when correction is required. We need to love when love is required. We need to visit when people are sick. We need to care for people. We need to love them exactly where they're at all times. That's what Jesus said. What? Jesus said that? Yes, he said that. The next thing isn't so helpful. Not to our sensibilities in Western culture, right? Because what we don't want to believe in this culture, this worldly culture, doesn't want to believe that there is a definitive right and a definitive wrong. You are either right or you are wrong. God's law determines that, right? Jesus is the separation. You either are a Jesus follower or you are not. At the end of time, there is a definitive separation of the people who are believers and unbelievers. And this better wake you up, church. Because every single one of us loves someone who's a goat. I have my share. You have your share. Jesus and God make sure that you have your share. And if you don't have your share, you should get some. Look what it says. Then he will say to those on his left, these three words will be devastating. Devastating. Depart from me. Eternal separation from a holy God. Depart from me. You who are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and I was in prison and you did not look after me. And they will answer, when did we see any of that? Because, dude, I was a billionaire on earth. You needed a house? Bam, West Palm, here you come. You needed a castle? No problem. I got 10 castles. You needed food? No problem. I own a yacht. We could have fed you for a year without even breaking into the yacht budget. Depart from me. When did we see you in any of these things? When did you see these? Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. And then here's this statement that is very difficult for those of us who know people who don't know Jesus. It says, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Time stops. One team goes to righteousness, the other team to punishment. I'm not ashamed to tell you that there are goats that I love. There are people who don't know Jesus who I love so much. I grew up with a gang of guys, man. They were crazy, right? Over the course of my life, they became brothers. We don't have any bloodlines that match up, no family trees that even touch each other. But we are brothers. My wife will tell you that. My daughters will tell you that. And they lost their mom a week and a half ago. And I'm going to go to say goodbye to this woman who meant so much to me, who mothered me, who loved me. I got a chance to see her a couple weeks ago before she died. And we had this great conversation. And she said, my God, my Lord Jesus Christ is going to take me to a place that I've never, ever seen in my life. I am going to be at peace and at rest, and I'm going to be with him forever. And I just went, whew. And then you know what she said? She said, your brothers and I all were going to hell. Because they think this religion is for weak people and old women. Your mission now is to take up where I left off. Your brothers, these kids you've known 35 years of your life, your mission is now to gather the goats and make sure they know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody in our circle of influence, people we love, they're there. They're there. We need to love the sheep passionately. We need to be all in. We need to love them. We need to love the sheep so crazy good that they have no choice but to pour out that love onto everybody they know that's not. We have to be all in. I have to put it here. We need to be like the early church in Acts. The early church in Acts, what did they do? They devoted themselves to what? The disciples' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship, right? That's what they did. They hung out together all the time. They celebrated together. They gave, they mourned together. They loved together. They spent so much time together. They smelled just like everyone else in that group. They smelled it. When they went out in the community, people went, whoa, what do you smell like? Now, hopefully it was not bad, but like, what do you smell like? You smell different. What's wrong with you? What is up? You smell like something else. And those people were ready, and they were charged up, and they were ready to go because they heard the teaching of the apostles. They heard the teaching that came from the teachers that gave and poured their lives into the word and gave it to you and gave it to them. And then they said, that's not enough, because we got to hang out together. We got to love each other, and we got to do everything that we can to know each other intimately. So if one person is slipping or one person's falling off, that we can tip them back on the scale. We can give them a hug. We can tell them, doggone it, you're wrong. And they would go, I better listen. Because this person whom I love, and this person whom hangs out with me all the time and treats me and loves me and loves my children and loves my family, that person must see something. That person must see something. I want us as a church to make sure that we are all in. I want us to be all in to love the Lord. I want us to be all in to devoting ourselves to our teaching. I want us to be all in to our fellowship. I want us to be all in for the people who minister on behalf of this church all over the world. I want us to be in for all the people who minister right out there in the local community. When they walk out to their job, whether they work in the schools, whether they work at Giant, it doesn't matter. I want us to be all in to love the believers that are out there so much that they have no choice but to spill over in love for people who don't know Jesus. That's just the reality. The reality is Jesus is trying to show us something here. He's trying to teach us something. What he's trying to teach us is to smell like each other, to be so intimately involved with one another. But don't mishear me. It's not holy huddle time. Nope. Mm-mm. Nope. We won't circle the wagons up and go, now, Tony, you don't understand. Those people are bad. Those people, they got some stuff going on. They smell like, they don't smell like us. They're kind of into stuff that I don't think I want to, you know, like. The right side will go to the kingdom of holiness and righteousness, and the other side will go to eternal death. Eternal death to the point where the water droplet from the edge of a leper's robe is considered cool refreshment. You think about that? Can you imagine what a leper's robe might look like? What it might smell like? What it might look like? To the point where those people are headed somewhere where their only refreshment, the only thing that the person who was in the parable was asking for was just to touch his tongue to the edge of a drop of water from the edge of someone's robe who was a leper. Can you imagine? Like, what kind of awful place do you have to be in when that's refreshment? You wrap your mind around that one? I love the brothers and sisters that I have here at East Swamp. I love the fellow elders that I serve with. I love the people that I interact with here because they teach me something all the time. I try to listen to my elders. I try to listen to the people who are here, the saints that have lived longer than I have, so that I can understand how to live this life. I'm almost 50. I want to be able to live my extra years after 50. Hopefully there's a bunch of them. As well as some of these other people have. I want to listen. I want to learn. But I don't want to just sit and listen and learn and not do anything about it. Because my God, my Jesus said, go forth into the nations and make disciples. Don't allow me to have this giant herd of goats charging off to their death. That celebration with the blow-ups things and things like that. How incredible is it that you could have had a conversation there and that now there's somebody down there listening to the gospel through song? How incredible is it that the Triple C ministry exists? And did you see all the people that stood up? If you were here the week we did Triple C celebration, There's just people standing all over the place that have been blessed by that ministry. You're amazed how many people have been read to by godly people out in the elementary schools who are now going, why are you reading to my kid all the time? Because my kid comes home and says nothing more than, hey, this reader comes in every week. She's so cool. And they're asking the teachers, why does that person do that? They do that because they don't want the herd of goats that are charging off to their death to be any bigger than it has to be. Well, all right. That was some heavy stuff, right? Yay, nothing like a nice, light, hearty sermon to wake up your Sunday. Jesus is awesome, dude. He's awesome. He's awesome. I have never been a part of a team that I thought had a better chance of winning than our team. Because at the end, Jesus says, we do. We enter into righteousness. We enter into the throne. And you know what? Sure, there's going to be inheritance on the other side of it. Sure, there's going to be treasure there. But I don't care, man. I'm going to be like that little kid waiting for that like superstar athlete to come out of the locker room with my like jersey for him to sign. I'm just going to be sitting down there going, dude, this is awesome. Like the kid doesn't even like know or care about why this guy's signing his stuff. He's just sitting there staring up at the throne going, dude, this is awesome. Tell me what to do. Tell me where to go. Tell me what to do. And look, in our brokenness, we're going to mess this up. That's why all you guys exist. Because when I mess it up, you're going to come tell me about it. You got a goat in your life? Love that goat like crazy. Because can you imagine the love it took to get you on the right side of the Lord Jesus Christ instead of the left? Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you because, God, you're awesome. That's why. We thank you because you figured this stuff out for us, Lord. We couldn't do anything. We had no say in the matter. And you came to earth and you died for us. And you said, I'll pay. I pick up the tab. Just understand that you need faith to believe that I picked up the tab. And come onto the team and let's build. God, thank you for that. Thank you that you made me righteous when I deserved nothing. But now, God, you asked me to be a bondservant. You asked me to love everyone who is a Christian as much as I possibly can with everything I have in me, with all my heart, my soul, and my mind. To love you and love my neighbor just the same. And God, to find every single goat that's out there and just say to them, the reason I'm here before you taking all the nastiness you have is because Jesus saved me from all the nastiness I have. Ah, we love you, Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen.